chapter 3.
Ben Stickle nearly jumped out of his spikes as Gonf bounded out from behind a snow-laden bush in the nighttime forest.
Boo! Guess who? Ha! Ben, me old matey! You should have seen your face just then. What are you doing trekking round here in the snow?
Ben recovered himself quickly.
Gonf, I might have known. Listen, young fella, me mouse, I haven't got time to stop and gossip with you. We've left the settlement at last, and I'm looking for the little hut that the Corrim keep for the likes of us.
The mouse thief winked at Earthclaw and kissed Goody cheekily.
Ah, that place. Follow me, matey. I'll have you there in 2 shakes of a cat whisker.
Goody shuddered.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't say things like that, you little rogue.
But Gonf was not listening. He was skipping ahead with the little ones, who thought it was all a huge adventure.
Is it a nice place, Mr. Gonf?
Oh, possible. Better than the last place you were in.
What's that under your jacket, Mr. Gonf?
Never you mind now, young spy. It's a secret.
Is it very far, Mr. Gonf? I'm tired.
Not far now. Posey, me little dear. I'd carry you if it weren't for your spikes.
Goody Stickle shook her head and smiled. She had always had a special soft spot for Gonf. The Corrim hut was well hidden, deep enough into the forest to avoid immediate discovery. Earthclaw said his goodbyes and trundled off to find his own kind. Ben watched him go as Gonf lit the fire. He nodded fondly.
Good old Earthclaw. He only stayed at the settlement because of us, I'm sure of it.
When the fire was burning red, Goody sat around it with Gonf and Ben. The 4 baby hedgehogs poked their snouts from under the blankets to one side of the hearth.
Have you been stealing from Kater again, Gonf? What did you pinch this time?
The mouse thief laughed at Goody's shocked expression. He threw a wedge of cheese over to the little ones.
It's not pinching or stealing if it comes out of Kater, mateys. It's called liberating. Here, get your whiskers around that lot and get some sleep there for you.
Ben Stickle sucked on an empty pipe and stirred the burning logs with a branch.
Gonf, I do wish you'd be careful. We can live on what we have until spring arrives. Goody and I would never forgive ourselves if you got caught taking cheese and wine inside that cat's castle.
Goodwife Stickle wiped her eyes on a flowery pinafore.
No more we wouldn't, you young scallywag. Oh, my spikes! I dread to think what had happened if those vermin catched you, Gonf.
Gonf patted her very carefully.
There, there, Goody. What's a bite of food and a warm drink between mateys? The young uns need their nourishment. Besides, how could I ever forget the way that you and Ben brought me up and cared for me when I was only a little woodland orphan?
Ben took a sip of the wine and shook his head.
You be careful all the same, and remember what the Corrim rule is. Bide your time and don't let him catch you. One day we'll win old Mussflower back.
Goody sighed as she went about making porridge for the next morning's breakfast.
Fine words, but we're peaceable creatures. How we're ever going to win our land back against all those trained soldiers is beyond me.
Gonf topped up Ben Stickle's beaker with elderberry wine and gazed into the flickering flames, his normally cheerful face grim.
I'll tell you this, mateys, the day'll come when something will happen to change all this. You wait and see. Some creature who isn't afraid of anything will arrive in Mossflower. And when that day arrives, we'll be ready. We'll pay that filthy gang of vermin and their wildcat masters back so hard that they'll think the sky has fallen on them.
Ben rubbed his eyes tiredly.
A hero, eh? Funny you should say that. I thought I saw just such a one earlier tonight. Ah, but he's probably dead or in the dungeons by now. Let's get some sleep. I'm bone weary.
The little hut was an island of warmth and safety in the night, as the howling north wind drove snowflakes before it, whining and keening around the gaunt trees of winter-stricken Mossflower.